Hey, this is Christian Karyanides from our sister podcast, Yanks in the End Zone.
Fucking hell. That sounded so good. He's American.
Hey, let's go!
Brits in the end zone.
Come on, let's go!
Hello. Welcome to Brits in the End Zone. God, it feels like a long time since we've done this. JP here, and once again, by popular demand, I will be your host for today's podcast. It's a special episode today, not for any particular reason other than it's episode 19, and it's just me and Mr. Top 3, Greeny, with you for the next 45 minutes or so. Make sure you're following us on Twitter, at Brits_endzone. And if you want to read an occasional angry tweet directed at O2 or Argos, you can follow me, at JonathanPeters8. You can also follow Greeny at Regal Don if you want some up-to-date fantasy views and analysis. So, where are Charles and Adley? Well, Adley, he's currently serving a suspension, having been ejected from my living room for fighting during Red Zone on Sunday. And Charles, the big news, he's an engaged man, isn't he, Greeny?
Woo!
He is, yes. Whilst we have returned from the US, Charles is still there now with his fiancée, road tripping around America, and popped the question last week in Nashville.
The best thing about that is we've just taken that burden off of us and just handed it over to his now fiance.
Jade is welcome to him. I'm quite looking forward to not being interrupted about how good the Jags are for a one-off episode.
But is she legit?
Jade's legit. Jade is legit. It's funny because
every week
on, what was it, the last episode or a couple ago, Adley inadvertently blurted it out that Charles was going to propose because he had told us and everyone he knows other than Jade, and we actually had to cut it. So
our first ever edit, I believe. Isn't that right, Charlie?
Yeah, it's the first one we ever did. We've not had to do anything aside from it.
Seamless otherwise. So congrats to you, Charles and Jade, and we are looking forward to having you back and celebrating. So Greeny, just the two of us. We can make it if we try.
Oh, right? I love it. Oh, that was very smooth, Mr. James Bond, with that opening.
Very smooth. How you doing?
Yeah, very good. Although I'm sad to be in the land of inconvenient timing for watching NFL. You know, there was something very nice about being in the US and having dinner with 20 of your friends and then in the corner having Monday Night Football. I don't think, you know, now we go home and you watch, it's like EastEnders in the corner.
What was better was getting ready for the wedding. We were both groomsmen or ushers at this wedding we were at, and just watching Red Zone whilst getting ready. That's pretty incredible. That was the best bit.
Can someone get married every week? Okay. Yes, they are. Chelsea boys, step up.
Let's just quickly talk about, we actually went to a game whilst in the States.
Yeah. So we went to the Ravens-Dolphins.
Not quite a classic.
No. I'm currently thinking about getting my money back for that one.
Lee, give us our money back.
Yeah, so, you know, we're kind of expecting a poor game in advance, but no one could expect that 40-0 drumming that the Ravens handed to the Dolphins and ended up watching two backup quarterbacks play against each other.
It was hard work.
It was certainly hard work, and we put a number of bets on in advance, kind of hoping that...
we put about 40 bets on and not one came in because we had Ryan Mallett and Matt Moore throwing the football.
Yeah, and we also were extremely optimistic about my boy Jay Ajayi getting a bit more than 25 yards in the game.
We did see his last ever game as a Dolphin.
Oh, that's
one for the record books.
So Jay Ajayi, he ends up like running 22 yards in his first carry, and then he ends up with 23 yards total. How does that happen?
It was such a bad game. But, I mean, the tailgate was fun. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, no, we just bumped into a number of I'm going to call
bumped
them...
Bumped into a number of Ravens fans, believe it or not.
I was going to say fans of the show, but if you want to call them only Ravens fans, that's also fine. We played a bit of cornhole. That's the one where you throw the beanbags into the hole. Ate a lot of food, drank a lot of beer, and then we're still ill-prepared for standing in the cold for 4 hours.
Yeah, we were not ready for that at all. I mean, I didn't realise the stadium is completely open roof. Like, there's nothing keeping any of the cold air out. And we were right at the top. And, oh God, it was freezing.
So what do you think of the whole game experience in comparison to the games you've been to in the UK?
They're very American. Very, very American. Surprisingly, whilst, you know, we were actually in the States. But, I mean, all the breaks kind of drove me a bit insane. And on the, like, big Jumbotrons, the classic one we all loved, Don't Be a Jerk.
That was amazing.
I don't even remember what they were talking about at the time, but, I mean, it was a really fun experience being in the US for a game and fans of, like, there weren't 32 different jerseys at the game. There were three.
A sea of purple.
There was the purple of the Ravens, the Dolphins, and Charles and his Jags.
So I guess the one thing I was looking at there was you definitely don't see it when you're watching Red Zone, and you only half see it when you're watching the live games on Sky Sports or BBC, is the breaks. And we're there, all the players are ready, you know, Jay Ajayi's jiggling his legs, trying to get ready for a run, and the ref's going, hold on, we need to advertise Coca-Cola over here. And there was just a ridiculous amount of breaks, even between plays. Like, they were ready to snap the ball.
Yeah, they need to cut that out and just get on with the game as soon as they're ready.
Yeah, but anyway, I ended up going to a better game, didn't I?
You did. You went to a college game. What, who did you say?
So I saw Maryland, because that's the University of Washington, and we had Stefan Diggs' alma mater, I think the US expression, against Indiana.
What does that mean?
Alma mater.
Thank you for that, jumping. Alma mater. If you went to that college,
okay,
that was your college you went to. And Jordan Howard went to Indiana University, who they played against, and it wasn't 40-0, it was 42-39.
That's a proper game.
That's a smashing game.
That's what we should have gone to. But instead, you did and turned up to the pre-wedding party stinkingly drunk.
And I have no regrets.
So quickly, I want to mention fantasy this week. I was up against Greeny in our friends' league, and just wanted to touch on this. I was losing by two. Firstly, our game was embarrassingly low. It was a terrible matchup. I was on something like 77 points with all my players done. Greeny was on 79 with his defense left to play.
That's low. That's low for standard leagues, let alone half-point PPR.
And his defence were the Lions that were playing Monday Night Football, and Greeny took them out of his lineup so that he could not possibly lose. I can see why he did it. It guaranteed him the win, but it left a bad taste. I'm not going to lie. And now I'm stuck with you in a room for the next 45 minutes.
I took the W. The game was 2 minutes left, just like Jaguars v Bengals. I didn't go for a touchdown.
I took the knee.
I took the knee, got the win, walked out of there, my pants down. No, in a good way.
No,
and now I'm
7-2
in the league due to very good drafting.
On the subject of quarterbacks, Greeny, we're at the halfway mark of the season. And I was just wondering very quickly, sort of who your sort of mid-season MVPs are. Obviously, they're very often quarterbacks.
Uh-huh.
So I was just wondering who you're seeing as your mid-season MVP.
Is this across the whole, all positions right now?
All positions, but I mean, I was thinking quarterbacks because they're mainly...
I guess you would have to say Carson Wentz. The way he's kind of taken the Eagles forward, he's been amazingly aggressive.
Had a stunning game against the Broncos.
To put up 51 points against the stingiest defense in the league is incredible. And somehow, Charlie, you're back listening? We're talking about Carson Wentz.
Oh, good time to come back.
Mid-season MVP.
He's quickly becoming my favorite player.
Well, next week we can see you with a Wentz shirt on. But other players who I think have done extremely well, you've had... Jared Goff as a quarterback, two coming back as the number one and number two quarterback drafted last year. It's incredible the development they've had. Who are yours?
I've been seriously impressed with Dak Prescott. I think with all the things going on at the Cowboys, all like Zeke's suspension and Jerry Jones with bending of the knee, all the different distractions, he's still just led his team unbelievably well. And I just think he's still even like that bit underrated. People aren't yet talking about him as, you know, one of the top QBs in the league. And I mean, Alex Smith as well. He's done, you know, unbelievably well this season, leading the Chiefs to a great halfway point in the season.
Yeah, but they look to... He has actually been ridiculous, hasn't he?
Yeah. I mean, considering what expectations were and how he's performed, puts him up there.
Yeah, because originally you would know Alex Smith as a guy who would throw 3 yards or something, just dump it off. And now he's throwing it long to Tyreek Hill, to just throwing it high to Kelce. And
yeah. I mean, and some of the non-QB potential MVPs I was, you know, having a think about today. I mean, Todd Gurley, what a start to the season he's had.
Well, I guess the Rams have the highest points per game at like 32.
You're stealing like all my stats that I'm going to read out later on when we recap last week. But we're going to that.
You've jumped me ahead, ill prepared.
I mean, Hopkins as well. I mean, what a start to the season he's had. Potentially, you know, with Watson going down, could we see a dip in form from Hopkins? But he's still got something ridiculous, like 16 targets from Tom Savage, which probably equates to about 3 from Watson. But he's having a great season. And just one more, going to get your thoughts on rookie MVPs. Any that have stood out for you so far, other than, you know, your Kareem Hunt?
Does it have to be offensive? Because I think on like the defensive side, you have players like Lattimore, who plays for the Saints, and he's
been outstanding.
I think it was something ridiculous, like he's only allowed 5 catches the whole season.
That's insane.
That is crazy.
Are you sure that's right? You haven't just made that up?
Well, we won't know
until someone tweets us that you're making up stuff.
I'm going to say it's correct.
I mean, Fournette's had an unbelievable start to the season. We'll go on to him a bit later on. And just, I mean, one for me, Evan Engram. He's really stood up when he's had to in the Giants' offense, and he's had an amazing start to the season.
I guess it's a bit like the Terrell Pryor effect. When you're the only guy who can catch a ball, you end up looking a lot better than you are. So maybe let's see when they've got OBJ back next season, if they have Brandon Marshall, if Evan Engram's even like a point of reference in that team.
Yeah, so let's quickly sort of recap what happened last week. So we mentioned Leonard Fournette, and he was in the news because he was inactive this week. What happened there, Greg?
Yeah, so we were just kind of sitting around pre-red zone, and the news flashes up of Fournette missing. And
a rush to the waiver wire for Chris Ivory.
Exactly, and you're kind of thinking, oh, you know, he had one of those injuries pre his bye. But no, it seems that this was because he had missed a team photo.
And
he had also arrived late for meetings, and I think this was just
kind of a number of things, and missing the team photo was kind of the last straw.
Yeah, so it was the coach just establishing his authority on the... but why do that when Fournette's your bright spark, apart from the defence, obviously?
It was a bit of a risky move, because obviously they're not blessed with talent on the offence.
But no, they're not. But somehow the defense makes the offense kind of lift a little bit, those average talented pieces on offense.
And it's kind of summed up by what was it? Blake Bortles taking a knee with a minute to go, rather than taking a field goal or a potential touchdown opportunity.
And the best thing about that is that it still left the Bengals with a bit of time, so they could have easily just kicked a field goal, and you can see the frustration that Bortles had on the offensive coach. Is it Malarkey?
I don't know.
No,
we're
wave.
Missing Charles already. He would know.
Well, obviously, it's his team. Yeah, so he confronts him and just goes, why wouldn't you let me throw it? And then the guy just holds up a mirror and goes, look at yourself. That's why.
So from Leonard Fournette, potential rookie of the year, let's go to a veteran. So who was the only running back this week to rush for over 100 yards, Granny?
It must be Adrian Peterson.
Adrian Peterson, 37 carries.
That is incredible.
Incredible, man. It's his record amount. And for a guy that's, you know, one of the best running backs of all time, that has dominated the backfield in Minnesota for however many years, it's an insane stat.
And I, even before the games, I was watching these highlight videos of he got 297 rushing yards against my very own Chargers. And just to think, in those years of him just running riot, he never ran above 37 carries.
It's insane. I mean, he got, what was it, like 160 yards, I think, which isn't a great return considering it was 37 touches, but they got the job done and they got the win.
Yeah, another crap quarterback who the team doesn't want to throw.
I mean, we can't talk about last week without the bust ups. The NFL turned into the WWE last week, and I mean that AJ Green and Jalen Ramsey fight was quite something.
Oh, it was great to watch, and just, you know, Green. So
that's why we tune in.
So, well, that's why people like hockey, isn't it?
Well, I guess that's why they watch hockey, not NFL.
Slowly turning into it. So Ramsey pushes Green, and apparently he was saying things about his mum or trash talking, and it reminded me of like a Zinedine Zidane kind of reaction.
Out of character headbutt.
Yeah, Green comes in just behind the neck, choke hold, and takes him to the ground. So that's punch him in the helmet. What are you thinking, you nutter?
That was, to me, that was the most astonishing thing. Why are you punching him in the helmet? Like, you're a wide receiver. Protect those hands. Like, at least, like, headbutt him or, you know, use your elbows or something.
Exactly. Like, and then, so Green gets ejected, which makes sense. But Ramsey doesn't. Ramsey does as well, sorry. Which doesn't make sense to me because he was the victim.
Yeah, I mean, he obviously started it, but Green took it to a whole nother level. I mean, there was Evans and Lattimore as well. I mean, I don't know what was going on this week, but, I mean, that Evans one, there was no need for him to rush into that. I think Jameis Winston had, like, given Lattimore a little poke on the back of the head or a tiny little push, and then Lattimore turns round. What did he do? Just, like, push Winston a bit?
No, it wasn't even that. I didn't even see that he pushed Winston.
I can't remember if he pushed him or...
It was just like Winston gave him a little poke in the neck, and then Evans comes out of nowhere
Steaming out of nowhere, where
Lattimore's not even looking, and he just takes him down to the ground.
And he wasn't ejected.
He wasn't ejected, but...
But he's been suspended for a game, whereas AJ Green and Ramsey have not been suspended.
Yeah, I can't really wrap my head around it. I guess
it makes absolutely no sense.
The only thing I would say is that it looks like it wasn't provoked from Lattimore, and he wasn't looking, so it was quite dangerous just to pile into someone around their neck and grab them to the floor.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Carlos Hyde as well, he gets ejected. Well, I mean,
he got kicked. I don't understand. But what it comes down to, it is all these teams that have crap quarterbacks get in fights because they're frustrated. There needs to be a fun little caption about the shit quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah, there's definitely some correlation. Jay Ajayi, fresh off that monster trade to the Eagles, and doesn't score a touchdown all season. First couple of carries, busts out a 30-40 yard run and a touchdown.
Against the Broncos, who I believe haven't even let in a rushing touchdown all season. He does it so easily, in fact. He just runs up the sideline, gets that touchdown. He's looked crap all season for the Dolphins, but great to see it happen as he's a star on my fantasy team.
I mean, we spoke about Wentz briefly just before, but I mean, what an incredible game from him. And I am really looking forward to, I think it's week 14, and it's Wentz against Goff.
That's going to be a good one.
Number one versus number two. And I mean, Goff had an amazing day as well for the Rams against the Giants, I think. Was it the Giants?
It was against the Giants. Before we actually go on to the Rams, I got one quick thing about the Eagles.
I'm not going on there just yet, but okay. Go ahead.
So apparently the Eagles scored so many touchdowns against the Broncos that they ran out of end zone fireworks to come out after they scored the touchdown.
They weren't expecting that many. They were ill prepared.
They ran out of fireworks. I
was just going to say a tweet from Adam Schefter, who you guys should definitely be following. He said, today marks the first time in NFL history in which quarterbacks selected number one and two in the same draft, Goff and Wentz, each threw four touchdowns on the same day.
Wow.
Pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I guess if you look back and try and think about who the good one and two quarterbacks are, all you can really think about
Mariota and Winston.
Well, you got Mariota and Winston. Actually,
not the one you were thinking about.
Yeah, yeah. The other one is Newton and RG3. RG3 didn't end up too well.
Not done as well as Cam.
No. Could have done for the Browns, but...
we mentioned the Rams just dominating against the Giants. I mean, what a turnaround it has been for the Rams this year. And it makes me question, why wasn't I given the opportunity to support the Rams this year? Why were the Rams not one that went to the public vote?
So you were offered the Browns, the Bucks. Who were the third team?
The Raiders.
The Raiders, okay.
So they're all having a pretty miserable season, aren't they?
It's a long-term fan investment. Think about it that way.
But yeah, Sean McVay looking like an absolute genius, isn't he?
Yeah, there was one thing I read. I think it was from Peter King's weekly article, and he said that McVay had copied Andy Reid's routes, what he did for the Chiefs against the Patriots in Week One. He saw that. That Hunt did one specific route to get past in the middle of the defense and run for a touchdown, and that is the exact same throw that they did for Gurley to win against the Cowboys. So he just seems like this genius that just watches every week. He's probably watching Red Zone thinking, that's a good throw.
He's probably listening to us.
He's probably listening to us, watching Red Zone. Goff can do that. Throw that one in.
I mean, just the value of Sean McVay. You know, I've got here last season... In total, the Rams scored 224 points, the lowest in the NFL. Through 8 games, 263 points. So it's so incredible.
They're going to double the amount they did last year.
Probably, if not more. I mean, the Redskins, they took on the Seahawks in what was not the greatest offensive game to watch for the first three quarters, but it kind of started to blow up in the final quarter. Wilson got going. A couple of great drives, touchdowns, and then Kirk Cousins, who had struggled all day against that Seahawks defense, came up big.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like one of those. It felt like an Old Firm derby, really. You know, there's like not a current Old Firm derby, I must know.
10 years ago, maybe.
10 years ago, just like really rugged affair. If you love watching good defenses, it was really, really good to watch. And we had quarterbacks in fantasy, so that didn't work out well in my favor because I had Cousins. But he exploded in the last quarter, and to get that touchdown against the Seahawks to win in Seattle was actually quite an achievement for Washington.
Yeah, definitely. And then just finally, touch on the Chiefs against the Cowboys. Alex Smith threw his first interception of the season.
Mid-year potential MVP, Alex Smith.
Potentially.
And he threw it to Heath, which is the safety for the Cowboys.
He just does everything this year, doesn't he?
What does he do?
He kicks.
I don't know what else he does. He catches.
He tackles. He's a superstar.
So he's the guy we mentioned who took that point extra return when Bailey got injured.
Yeah, exactly. And did you see Kelsey's celebration? It's one of my favourite ones of the year.
He's done so many. He scored so many touchdowns.
Oh, that was good. It was very funny, that one. And I mean, one thing I actually talking about celebrations. Do you know what really annoys me? When players celebrate after everything that they do, whether it's a first down, whether it's a tackle, whether it's a pass for 5 yards and they catch it, they don't need to celebrate after every single one. I just feel like it turns like a team sport into something that's very individual. I mean, it's the equivalent of like Harry Winks, Flavour of the Month for England. Literally, like him celebrating after passing the ball like 20 yards to Harry Kane.
Do you not see him like shake his fist?
It doesn't make sense. I don't know why they do it.
Yeah, imagine you're a defender, you do this big sack, and then the next player they go for a massive touchdown.
Yeah.
You look like a fool.
Exactly. I mean, I guess they're like incentivized, aren't they? And if they get however many sacks in a season, they get paid a load of money, but just get on with your job.
They say it's a team sport, but really,
they all
want to get their individual Ballon d'Ors.
They just want to get paid, don't they? And then just lastly, in the Packers-Lions game, Greeny, I said to you that I was going to have a little bit of trivia for you. So what happened in this Packers-Lions game for the first time since 1971?
I think I know this one.
Go on.
You're going to hate it. It is the first game where there was no punt from one team.
That is spot on. The Lions drives on Monday Night Football. Touchdown, miss field goal, touchdown, field goal, fumble, field goal, touchdown, field goal. How does that happen?
Sounds like they were pretty efficient.
I mean, that's how you win in Lambeau Field.
Well, yeah, they haven't won, or was that the second time they've won like 25 attempts at Lambeau Field? So it's not gone well for them when Aaron Rodgers plays, but when you get
when
Hundley
he's out.
In there, it all comes quite easily.
Yeah, exactly. Greeny, do you just want to sort of take us through some of the top headlines from this week?
I'm going to run through it. So AJ McCarron at the trade deadline was looked to be going to the Browns. It didn't go through because of some weird signature or very much from like an English Premier League deadline. So he's filed a grievance against
the fax machine wasn't working.
So he's filed a grievance against the sound like a you know one of those correspondents. He filed a grievance against
you need
the
your
Bengals,
papers, just a news reporter
trying to looking to be a free agent this summer. Also had Greg Hardy, who played for the Cowboys, played for the Panthers. He is no longer in the NFL, but he's won his first MMA battle.
Maybe that's where AJ Green and co. got influenced this
heavily
week.
Inspired by that. And then we've also had quite a lot of unfortunate injuries. We've had quarterback darling Deshaun Watson get injured out for the season with ACL. We had Luck, will the will he, won't he, very much of the Ezekiel Elliott kind of elk, like, will he play? But no, he Luck gets shut down.
I actually saw a very worrying tweet from, I think, one of the Colts reporters or something that said, the Colts are at a crossroad. I'm told it's very possible Andrew never plays again. The team is looking at a top 7 pick in the draft.
Wow, that's interesting.
That would be awful.
That would... They've invested so much in just having Andrew Luck. They have not built any offensive line because they're like, and you know, Luck can do it all. That would really just... You've got to clear out your staff after that. Although it's unfortunate, what can you do about an injury like that? But he's been injured from the year 26 till he's now 28. Like, that's...
Yeah, it would make, and it, yeah, like we'll go on to a bit later in the show in one of the questions at the end, but it kind of makes sense then why they were potentially thinking about trades for T.Y. Hilton, for Vontae Davis, because they know that they're might going to have to do a big restructure and they're going to need those picks in the draft to be able to do that.
Oh, don't turn into the Browns. How depressing would that be? Should we just bring up, let's bring out that question now. So we had... Wastenenenenenny. His question was...
Go rogue. Without Adley, we just do what we like.
Would trading Andrew Luck be a good or bad move? And which teams would be interested in the injury-prone quarterback?
Well, I mean, if he's not going to play... if he's not going to play football again, then I don't think you're going to get much in a trade for him. But let's say that, you know, he is going to be back by the start of next year. I mean, what are you looking at in terms of what value you're going to get for trading someone like Luck?
You really have no idea, but let's say he's healthy. It's got to be 2 first-round picks.
Really?
First and a second.
For a very injury-prone quarterback.
He's still very young. Think about, like, Breeze was injured for the Chargers. He had a big shoulder injury. They said he would never throw again. He then moved to the Saints, and he's played for 12 years, winning a Super Bowl. You've had Peyton Manning play to his 40. Brady play to his 40. You're talking 12 years of an elite quarterback, assuming he's healthy. With so many bad picks going in the first round, why would you not do that?
Do you know what? The Browns would probably give about 4 first-round picks. They've got about 3 or 4 of them for next year. So,
And that would be a great decision, to be honest. Why not go for broke?
Yeah, I mean, there would be plenty of teams who would be in the market for Luck. I mean, you know, elite quarterbacks don't just come along.
I'd say a good one would be maybe the Cardinals.
The Jags?
Definitely the Jags.
That'd be really interesting.
He's familiar with the division. It happens quite a lot. Like, players tend to go into the same division. Brett Favre obviously went from Packers to Vikings. But the Cardinals, they've got Carson Palmer, probably going to be retired.
Yeah,
could phase Luck in.
Any more news for us, Granny?
Any more news? My favourite guy, Juju Smith-Schuster. I've got slightly better at saying his name. He had his bike stolen. Not massive news, but it was very fun because he celebrated by wrapping chains around the exercise bike on the field, and but he's got a bike all on his boots, and he's gone a bit crazy on this.
It doesn't matter now because as of today... He is a licensed driver.
Is he?
He passed his driving test today.
That is actually very big news. That is,
I'm
going to push aside the Charles getting engaged news and bring in the Juju Smith-Schuster driving license news.
Josh Gordon, that's
probably the news you were looking for there.
That interview he had where he admitted to drinking or doing drugs before every game he played in college and the NFL.
I mean,
something.
I struggle to sit on the couch correctly after drinking, so I don't know how he's running 200, getting 200 yards of receiving yards playing with alcohol in his system.
That's funny.
Assume it's not performance enhancing.
And there were some fun Halloween costumes going around the NFL last week. Any particular favourites?
I quite like Brandon Marshall, who's the cornerback or safety for the Broncos. He dressed up as Von Miller, his fellow defensive end. Brandon Marshall, defensive end. And he had the Von Miller tash, he had his kind of gear he wears, and he was just holding a sex tape, which is a reference to Von Miller getting in trouble.
And Russell Wilson dressed as Pete Carroll with the wig and chewing gum was very funny. And just lastly, to wrap up the news, on this date in 1998... Bobby Boucher showed up at halftime and the Mud Dogs won the Bourbon Bowl. That's obviously referencing The Waterboy, one of the best NFL films, and Adam Sandler in his classic movie-making days.
That's also probably one of the most pivotal points in footballing history.
It is. It's very important. So, halftime snacks. This is where we thank our sponsors, Zing Zing. And you can get 20% off your meal if you use the code 20bites. That's 20BITEZ. Lovely Chinese food. MSG free. Week 10 previews. This is where we go through a few of the matchups and point out who your bankers, your tankers, and your cheeky wankers. Let's kick off with the Sunday 6 o'clock game. That is the Bills versus the Saints. Greeny, who is your banker?
Right, so we're back to normal time now, 6 p.m.
Thank God for that.
I've got my banker being Alvin Kamara. He's kind of become a bit elite right now, so it's on the cusp of, is that acceptable?
He's just been the third top running back in the past 6 weeks, but...
3-4. Well, you may not want to ride that wave. He's got a tough matchup.
He's still not an elite name.
Yeah.
So there might be other people that have got bigger name value that you might want to start instead of someone like Kamara, who's also got Mark Ingram there as well, but he's been performing pretty well.
Exactly. He is the second running back for the Saints, but they've seemed to lean very, very much so on the running game. Play him. He's going to be great.
Your tanker. I'm going to go for Mike Thomas here. The Bills have had a pretty stingy defense. Drew Brees has been passing the ball around a lot, not focusing on one wide receiver. And as you just said, the Saints are working the run game. So Thomas hasn't been seeing that huge amount of targets. Mm-hmm. And for your cheeky choice, obviously Adley and Charles aren't here, so me and Green are going to be splitting duties each game.
Unless,
so,
Charlie, you have one you want to shout out to the world when we get to it.
So, cheeky choice, what am I choosing?
So, I really just wanted to see you
struggle.
Le'Veon Bell.
That is a good
one for the Saints-Bills game. For the cheeky choice, I'm going for Jordan Matthews. I think Lattimore is going to be focusing on Kelvin Benjamin if he makes his debut for the Bills. Matthews back fit and in the slot, I think he could have a productive day.
That's interesting because, yeah, the Saints have been good, but we still think of them as a bad defense, I think, historically. So,
Jags against the Chargers, the Charles versus Greeny derby.
I'm licking my lips at this one. I think he's got the edge, but I think the Jags... I think the Chargers... can pull through at this, even though it's in Florida.
Banker. Oh, I just smacked my elbow on the wall.
So, Hunter Henry. We know Ramsey's a lockdown. He will take on Keenan Allen or Williams. So I think Hunter Henry, the big receiver, Rivers will find him. Big tight end.
That's worrying because I think he was my cheeky choice. Let's go for the tanker. I was going for Rivers. I mean, the Jags shut down opposing QBs, and I think Rivers is gonna struggle to stand upright on Sunday.
Makes sense.
Cheeky choice. So let's try and do this one together then, because I was gonna pick Henry.
Well, it's my go, so I will go Travis Benjamin.
That's why I didn't have one.
So Travis Benjamin is the fourth wide receiver for the Chargers. He's got a few touchdowns in the last few games. He's very nippy and he can find holes. So when the Jags, Bouye and Ramsey are preoccupied, Benjamin will find his way to the end zone.
Will they not be preoccupied marking him?
They're preoccupied marking the three other first-choice wide receivers.
Sunday, 9:25, the Falcons take on the Cowboys, which could potentially be a nice high-scoring game, hopefully. Your banker, he's a stud, but I'm going for Devonta Freeman. He's really struggled the last few weeks, hasn't been used efficiently, but I'm saying keep the faith and a big game is coming.
Okay. My tanker, I've gone Matt Ryan. The Cowboys pretty much held Alex Smith in check, and he may just struggle in this big matchup.
And for the cheeky choice, old favourite of Greenies, I'm going for Mr. Cole Beasley. He's off the back of a couple of touchdowns, but more to the point...
How cheeky can it be after getting two touchdowns?
He's cheeky because Dez Bryant is hurt. Terrence mm-hmm. Williams is hurt. We don't know if they're going to be available. Beasley might be, one of their main targets. So, high-scoring game.
Yeah, cheeky one to throw in, even though it's not my go. Bryce Butler.
Bryce Butler.
If Bryant's not playing. But I like it.
Absolutely. 49ers, who are still winless, take on the mighty Giants, who have got that single win this season. Who is your banker, Graham?
Oh, Carlos Hyde. Fresh from a kick to the stomach, Hyde will find his way and rebound against the Giants defense, which, even though Charles debated, they're a porous defense.
A porous defense. Well, my cheeky choice is the Giants D. I think they have been awful this year. Mm-hmm. They've been terrible, but I think they're going to be a sneaky good stream this week against Bethard. And I mean, the 49ers are without Pierre Garçon. Kittle's been ruled out this week, so they haven't got many options. So I think this is a get right week for the Giants, dear.
All the better for the 49ers to run. They've also got Janoris Jenkins back, who's one of the best cornerbacks in the league.
Exactly. Do you have a tanker for this one?
My TV license. So I think everyone just revoke watching that part of Red Zone or the NFL game.
I don't know what you'd have to pay me to watch that game. It's not an exciting one.
That's not great advocates for the NFL right now.
So the late Sunday game, the Broncos, who just off the back of that spanking from Wentz and the Eagles, they take on Tom Brady and the Patriots. What's going to happen in this one? Who is your banker?
Who is my banker?
Doing the banker.
Who's your banker?
My banker. We need one more. Charlie, we need one more person in here.
What do you want me to do? I can jump in.
Don't worry. No, we're good. We're good. Danny Amendola. I think the Broncos D are going to want to show that last week was a one-off. And I think the Patriots are going to start to funnel throws down the middle of the field because they're not going to want to target those corners. So Hogan potentially out as well. I think Amendola could have a strong game.
Cool. My cheeky wanker, I'm going to go Cody Latimer. He had a few. He's the Denver Broncos wide receiver.
I've never heard of him.
He's probably like the eighth wide receiver, but he had a few big chunk plays last week with Osweiler. So Osweiler. Hopefully Osweiler's not continued to play because he is horrible to watch.
The Patriots D could be an interesting start as well against mighty Brock. Tanker, I'm going for CJ Anderson. He's disappointed for a few weeks. Devonta Booker's usage is going up, and of course they've got Jamal Charles as well, so not a good week for CJ.
When does tanking become sunk?
That will be after this week. So that is our previews for that game. Greeny, hit us with your top three.
Let me take you through to top three town. So in last episode's podcast, in the last podcast, I talked about the most intelligent players in the NFL. And in previous podcasts, I've brought up players who have so much money, they had such crappy investments, which mostly was T.O. So this week, I want to take you through the players in the NFL who have their fingers on the entrepreneurial pulse. Very savvy businessman.
Does Larry Fitz come up in this one?
He doesn't. He doesn't. But
there will be at least one person, you know.
Okay.
That's encouraging.
I'm not Adley.
Yeah, so, well, Ryan Diem, who was the offensive...
Never heard of him.
The offensive tackle for the Colts who helped them win the Super Bowl in 2003 with Peyton Manning, he ended up playing for the Colts until 2011. He was part of the NFL business program at the Kellogg School of Management, which is actually quite highly regarded, which specialised in brand development.
Not cereal.
not cereal. In 2007, he founded the Modern Muscle, a car restoration shop. And even better, he is now on the board of directors of Cloud One, a tech firm which brings software applications to the cloud. How bizarre is that?
He should get in touch with our friend Zach.
Number two, we got Drew Brees. Heard of him?
I know him. Quarterback, right?
The big quarterback for the Saints. He owns a number of Jimmy John's sandwich shops in the Louisiana area. He does, yeah. Because apparently he couldn't stop eating them when he was at college.
So when you said the big quarterback, Jimmy John Big. Yeah.
He also co-owns multiple Walk-On, which is a bistro and sports pub, and apparently an Irish pub as well. And the Walk-On Bistro was identified by ESPN as the best sports bar in North America. So he's got some good investments there.
There we go.
And he's now looking to bring in 69 Dunkin' Donuts to Louisiana.
He loves a franchise.
I think he's looking to retire.
I think he's ready.
Get Andrew Luck to the Saints. Let him go and eat his donuts. And then number one, Jason Brown. So in 2009, Brown signed a $38 million, five-year contract with the Rams to make him the highest-paid center in the NFL at the time. 5 years later, at the age of 29, he became a farmer with a 1,000-acre farm after learning how to grow crops on YouTube.
Jesus.
So he does this, actually, which is great, so he can donate food to the poor, with
what
him giving away 46,000 pounds of sweet potatoes and 10,000 pounds of cucumbers per year over a number of years. So
I love cucumber and sweet potatoes.
What a legend.
What a great guy. I enjoyed that, Greene.
Yeah,
that
was a bit swift.
No, that's good. That's good. I like that. Now is when we like to take a famous English television show and turn it into a little pun. So this week we are playing Coronation Streak.
Oh, I love that.
Of the following players, who is going to continue their scoring streak? And I love here, Greene, you've put in brackets, no games without touchdowns in last 3 weeks. So is that the same thing as they've scored touchdowns in the last 3 weeks?
No, because two of them have had a bye in between.
In their last three games?
Yeah.
You've gone like double negative. It's confusing.
Great grammar.
Robbie Anderson at the Bucks.
So he's the only legitimate... So let's just read them all out. We have Robbie Anderson who is playing Tampa Bay this week.
We've got Travis Benjamin, who's playing the Jags.
And Juju Smith-Schuster.
He's playing the Colts.
He's playing the Colts. So all guys playing away this week.
That have scored touchdowns in their last three appearances.
So, yeah, Robbie Anderson. No, that's not necessarily correct.
What have you written here then? I don't understand.
Not many wide receivers of this kind of middling pack have scored consecutive three-week touchdowns. So
they're not really on a streak.
They're on a two-game...
They're in good form.
Two-game winning streak. Two-game touchdown streak with the bye week in between. But Robbie Anderson's got three in a row.
Okay.
So who do you
there
think?
We go.
Who do you think? Who's continuing their streak?
I like Robbie Anderson's chances because he's the only one with a legitimate streak. No, he's got a nice matchup. The Bucks passing defense isn't particularly good. So you pick Travis Benjamin as your cheeky choice. I think the Jags corners are gonna shut them down. And Juju's got a great chance playing the Colts, but I'm sticking my neck out with Robbie Anderson. What about you?
He's actually a great waiver pickup as well, if he's available in your league. I'm going Juju.
Your boy Juju.
I'm an owner of him in fantasy. And I just think Martavis Bryant is going to be completely phased out. And it's a high-scoring offense against the Colts being a middling defense. So, great opportunity there.
We shall see. We'll be keeping an eye on those three players in particular this week. Other players we'll be keeping an eye on. It's time for our top picks of the week. And
was that like a pun on Twin Peaks?
No, it was not. That's next week's get. This week we're gonna change it up a tiny bit because obviously there's just two of us in the studio today. So Me and Greeny are going to spice it up a little bit and have a little bet on this week.
I have not been made aware of this.
We spoke about it earlier. And, I mean, I think what we've decided on is that whoever loses, the other person gets to change the fantasy team name in our friends league for that 1 week to anything they want it to be. And we welcome suggestions.
Oh, okay. I'm on board with that.
And so we can't have the same player. So if we're going to take it in turns for who picks first, and if you come up with the same one, then you have to pick someone new.
Okay.
And again, we don't pick any of the top guys.
Yeah, so we're aware of the rules. Quarterback and tight ends, you can have anyone. You can't have anyone inside the top five.
Yeah.
For running backs and wide receivers, it can't be top ten. Okay, my guys are quite middling, so I'm not feeling that confident.
I haven't gone huge, so do you start off?
Quarterback Matt Stafford.
Oh, okay.
He's got a good matchup against the Browns. He's got 300 yards in a row over the last 3 weeks.
Okay. I am going with Goff against the Giants.
No, that was last week.
Oh, shit. he had a great game against the Giants.
You can't go back in time and take
that. No, they're playing the Texans.
He's playing the Texans, yeah, which is also a good matchup.
It is. That's why I think I picked him. So hopefully he has a big game. Running back.
You take running backs.
I'm going with Aaron Jones of the Packers. They barely used him last week, but
Yesterday even.
I think a close divisional game against the Bears. I think they've seen that Hunley or whatever his name isn't much, so they're just going to feed him the ball.
Yeah, I think they were saying that they took him out of the game in favour of Ty Monty because of pass protection, but they really want to feed him. So, okay, so I've gone Carlos Hyde, and I think he's kind of on the back end. He's not in the top 10 right now, and he wasn't drafted in the top 10. He's a third or fourth round pick. You don't like that one, I can see in your face. Don't worry, it's getting a bit lighter for you in the wide receiver. So he should be using the slugfest, as I mentioned. In wide receiver, Funchess.
Okay.
Funchess for the Panthers. No Kelvin Benjamin. Newton needs some targets.
I have gone sort of similar situation. I've gone with Sterling Shepard. Playing the 49ers. I am all over the place today with these matchups. 49ers is their number one wide receiver. Obviously, Evan Engram's there, but he had a nice stat line last week and hopefully more of it this week. Tight end. I am going to go with Hunter Henry.
Oh, okay.
We mentioned playing the Jags. You don't want to throw to your wide receivers against them, so stick to the middle of the field. Hunter Henry should hopefully have a big game.
I guess I'm torn between I picked him as a banker and you having him in your team here and being a Chargers fan. So my tight end is Hooper. Austin Hooper is just outside of the cusp of maybe top five this year. He started off really hot this season, then became very a little presence for the Falcons. He's become quite clutch in the last two games, so I think big game against the Cowboys, he will be heavily relied upon.
All right, game on.
So how's it going to work? We're just going to add up all the points?
Yeah, we're going to half-point PPR, we'll add up the points. Whoever has the lowest amount loses.
And if you guys want to compete against us to change our name in the Zing Zing League, by all means, get involved.
Give us a shout. Emails, tweets, questions, and shout-outs. I mean, at this point, we always take a look back and see who had a little bit of a morning glory the last couple of days. Jared Cook had a big game. We picked him up in the Listener League and streamed him this week.
Great selection.
126 yards. Julius Thomas, who did not do the business for us when we were in Baltimore, but did this week.
He got a total of 2 yards when we watched him live, and then the next week,
84 yards and a touchdown. And Marvin Jones, waking up this morning, if you were playing him, 107 yards and 2 touchdowns, he is quickly becoming he is an every week starter now in fantasy, and is becoming, one of Matt Stafford's favourite targets.
Yeah, the way Stafford's playing, just throw him in your team every week.
Absolutely. So here are your questions. Jermaine T. After Watson and Rogers went down for Texans and Packers respectively, Kaepernick again got snubbed. Is there anyone that could get injured for Cap to get the call up? Grant?
So I actually saw the news today that the Texans apparently did look at Cap.
Yeah, they like agreed to work him out or something along those lines.
So we don't know if it's just Cap kind of wanting a bit more
media
money.
Spin.
Who knows the reason for that? Because Savage shouldn't be there. I would say the only team that may work for him is maybe the Seahawks. So they did look at him preseason as a backup for Wilson. Wilson had to go down, but he doesn't go down.
Yeah, I personally don't think it's going to happen. Not with this lawsuit that's still hanging around. I can't see Kaepernick on an NFL team this year,
it's unfortunately. It's really not died down, and the media attention is actually getting a bit worse.
Rich Taylor, what has happened to the Giants? I mean, I think they've just been McAdoo'd. They've been McAdoo'd. I think I spoke about him a few weeks ago on the podcast, and I think the sooner they get rid of him, the better. There seems to be just a real lack of discipline and leadership on that team. I mean, it doesn't help losing, you know, a star player like OBJ, but I mean, the last couple of weeks, both their cornerbacks on separate occasions have been suspended. They need to start fresh next year, new coach, new system.
And I guess if fake news can make the Collins Dictionary McAdoo'd, to be McAdoo'd can certainly work its way there.
I feel like 10 will love that.
Find out soon enough.
JW, what do you make of the Jets being 4-5 when some thought they'd struggle to win a game all season?
I mean, I couldn't believe how surprising that is. They've
been seriously impressive.
Yeah, a lot of that has been due to the defense. You've got five or six players that have been pretty standout. They have Maurice Claiborne, who came from the Cowboys a few years ago. He's been pretty great at cornerback. And Jamal Adams,
rookie. From a first round pick. And there's great videos going around on Twitter of like the Jets dance to anything. And there's just different background musics of them, of all different clips of them just dancing at any occasion on the field. It's really funny.
Is it after they like catch a ball?
It's sometimes when they catch the ball, it's sometimes when during a break and they're just like trying to keep warm.
Well, that's bloody good spirit then.
It's brilliant.
We need more of that. But that, you know, the Browns should have kept hold of McCown.
Yeah, he's looked really good this year. I mean, the Jets are 4-5. They could easily have 5 or 6 wins this year. You know, I just think back of that ASJ touchdown against the Patriots that was called back. Who knows what would have happened in that game. And finally, one last question from Dave Roddy. With Charles' absence, you know, is the Jags D finally, definitely, not every other week, legit? I hate to say it, but they are.
I was going
to
say, wait 1 week. Let's see if the mighty Rivers, the Zeus of the NFL, can't get through that defense. I'm going to call them every week legit.
I'm worried Rivers' career might get ended this week. I just think the Jags are going to rip through.
I know, we have such offensive line, and Rivers can't run away from it.
He's just going to have to get rid of that ball quickly to Melvin Gordon.
Luckily he can in his weird like underarm throwing motion.
Yeah, it's very strange. And Roddy, Dave Roddy quickly ends his question with, are the Rams contenders now? We spoke about them earlier on the podcast. They have to be.
Why the hell not? But let's see how they fare, what did you say, week 14 against the Eagles.
Looking forward to it. Charlie, hit us with some trivia.
Alrighty. I'm just going to give you some true or false things. I don't know if you want to just keep track of your own scores. We've got 5 questions and you're just going to give me true or false.
I'll do that, okay.
Let's do it.
Have you got paper and pencils in there?
We do.
Yeah, if you just write down what you
We're
got
well equipped in this studio of ours.
Right, I'm going to leave that latched on. Okay, so first one. True or false? They're all true or false.
I thought you were about to say they're all true. That would defeat the objective.
The game.
Rob Gronkowski owns his own brand of cereal.
I'm going to say false.
I'm going to say false.
Okay. Next one. The Colts offense once missed 3 tackles on a drunken fan running across the field.
The Colts couldn't stop anything.
No, true. I'm going to say false.
Is that true from you, Dan?
Yep.
Okay. Tom Brady claims his favourite band is Wet, Wet, Wet.
True.
He could like anything. True. True as well.
In 2006, there was an online petition that gathered over 250,000 signatures to rename American football to American Hand Egg.
It's got to be true.
False.
All the Brits out there.
And finally, Carl Weathers, who played Apollo Creed, played two seasons with the Oakland Raiders in the early 1970s.
I want to say that's quite specific, and there's been a lot of, like...
I'm going to say true.
A lot of ex-actors who have been in the NFL. I'll say false just to balance that out.
Okay.
I feel like I've done shockingly at this quiz.
Can you feel that?
Okay, so Rob Gronkowski does own his own cereal. They're called Gronk Flakes.
You must have gone to that cereal university or whatever. Kellogg's University.
Well, because I know that Doug Baldwin's got his own cereal brand.
Baldwin?
Doug Baldwin.
A bowl of cereal.
Baldwin of cereal.
Okay.
Yeah, you can still buy them online. They're called Gronk Flakes.
We should get some.
I like it. Let's get it on the studio.
The Colts offense didn't miss three tackles on a drunken fan running across the field, but
I mean,
it's believable.
You said didn't.
It is believable. Tom Brady's favorite band is actually Coldplay.
Ah,
he loves Coldplay.
I'm 3 for 3 right now of losses.
There was no online petition about American hand egg.
Greeny, you're doing terribly.
I'm doing this for fan entertainment.
And I think that was a Simpsons joke. Hand egg.
Well, our friend league is called the Over Mayo Premier League, which is the hand egg in Spanish. So we homage.
So yes, it's a thing. And finally, Carl Weathers did play with the Oakland Raiders in the early 1970s.
You've done reasonable.
Wait, what was the final tally, Gray?
You got 3.
Not bad.
And I didn't participate. I got 0. I got
so
0.
So point to JP then.
Point to JP.
Oh, we're playing for points, damn it.
Thank you, Charlie. That was a lot of fun. Especially Greeny getting them all wrong.
That's quite embarrassing, actually.
So, just to sign off for today, I hope you have stuck with us this whole time. Me and Greeny have thoroughly enjoyed doing this podcast, just the two of us. Who knows? Sign of the future. Charles...
I thought the red wine together and the candle was a bit much.
That's dinner after.
But if you guys want to sign a petition to just get us two as the main guys in the podcast, then please email us at
BritsEndzone@gmail.com or tweet us Brits_endzone or visit our lovely website BritsEndzone.com.
Also Instagram us. We have a full Instagram profile.
Do we know the name of it yet?
Let's go with BritsEndzone.com.
Thank you for listening, guys. We really appreciate it. Tweet us anything over the coming week, all the NFL games. Looking forward to another week of NFL.
Oh, I'm going to take you down this week, JP.
See you later.